For our feature interview this week, I cannot wait to chat to somebody that I've been racing against and racing alongside for over 20 years now. One of the great members of the Irish Mountain Running family. Let's chat to Ireland's new over 40 world champion. Ian Conroy, world champion. Ian, you're very, very welcome to the show. And Ian, I've missed you. It's been June 2020 since the last time you were on the show. And we had a great chat that day, if you remember, about, I think, becoming over 35 world champion, about running for Ireland and the 2019 World Championships and the trial race and the effort and the sacrifices you made to get on that Irish team. So I'm really looking forward to chatting to you today and chatting to the new over 40 world champion. Ian, you're very, very welcome.
Thanks, Owen. Yeah, it's great to be back on and it's great to talk to you. I haven't really chatted to you properly personally either. I do enjoy your voice messages. They're always good and long and personal as well. And yeah, great to be back. And there's a reason for it, because I'm over 40s champion and just in time because I'm over 45 in a few short months. So
yeah, so of course, you know, you got the over 40 gold medal in to add to your over 35. And, you know, that just gives you the opportunity, doesn't it, to try and become a world champion in your age category forevermore. You've got the over 35, you've got the over 40. Next year, you know, I presume you're going to go for the over 45 and get the triple G again, get the triple gold medals.
Yeah, totally. Well, I suppose what's kept me going since 2016 is that I didn't win overall. I've always wanted to win the overall, like beat everybody.
Yeah.
So in 2016, I was out from 3K onwards. I was out in front, like I was way ahead of the field for a while. And then two very good runners caught me. Cesar Costa, at the time, I didn't know who he was. And I just basically tried to run him into the ground. And he's like, you know, he's very legendary. He's ran Sierras and all many times. I think he's been top three in it. And of course then John O'Wyatt caught me with like 100 meters to go, so I was a bit deflated when I finished that. And then ever since then I've been trying to get that overall, but thankfully you did get a few bonus medals along the way, so I will be trying once again to win the overall next year and then hopefully get my goal as well. So that's the end.
Maybe just to set the scene for the gold medal this year, Ian, and to talk about the build-up towards it and how you train to become a World Mountain Running Masters champion, because I'm sure we have lots of listeners that would love to go to a European or World Masters Championship. And again, guys, you know, you don't need to qualify for these Irish teams. You can just sign up, join the group and go along and race as hard as you can. And but when we spoke in June 2020, and again, just to say to the listeners, the pedigree that you have, you had 21 Irish senior caps in 2020. Now, COVID happened. We missed a couple of championships. I know you added at least one more senior cap with the Europeans in 2024. And maybe confirm maybe what number you're at now. There might have been one or two other tournaments in there as well. So 21, 22, at least 22 Irish senior caps. What was the main objectives for 2025, Ian? Was it to make the senior team for the World Championships in Canfranc this year? Because I know you were at the trial race back in June, didn't quite work out. Or was it to try and do the two, maybe, to make the Irish senior team and go for the World Championships? Or how did the year start off for you, 2025?
Yeah, and it was a difficult year. So since last year, I ran myself into the ground a little bit last year because I was a victim of my own success. So last year, I got back into the Irish senior team.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had an injury anyway. I actually went to, Annecy last year, kind of a bit injured. And actually had to get treatment the night before. And it was such a cold. Yeah, that wasn't good. It was so cold that it's a tendon on the inside of my ankle, so it actually hurt during the race. But anyway, that's another story. But that kind of subsided. But then my ankle started getting sore on the other foot, maybe a compensation. And then I just ran and ran and race and kept picking up like invites. And I ended up in Puglia in Italy in November. And then after that, I was very tired. And then I just thought it would just go away. But when I started back after my 2 week rest, it didn't. And I kind of like limped my way into the new year and continued to do that March, April. And I just kept thinking, and running became a bit of a chore. I could kind of do sessions, ironically, or weirdly enough, and I could do uphill stuff. But the easy runs, the long runs, they were a big problem. And yeah, it was a kind of a disaster of a spring where I had back problems, hip problems, sciatica.
Oh no, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. There was a bit of 2 week period I couldn't really sleep because I was in so much pain. It wasn't good. And then I bought a new mattress, which my girlfriend Charlotte, who I don't know if the listeners know, is she's pretty much the same kind of athlete. She hates downhill, loves uphill, and she's really good. Well, maybe she doesn't love it, but she's brilliant at it. And she
Yeah.
runs for Belgium, living out of Madrid.
Yeah.
And where was I?
Just in lots of pain at the start of the
So
year
she was
is.
like, it's your bed. Because she came over in like January and she was staying there. I was like, what have you done to the bed? Like, it's like got holes in it. And I was like, well, I can do anything. But apparently, like, mattresses can just almost go. Like, they're fine, and then they're just useless. So I've got, I don't know if it is it a plug? My cousin works for Mattress Mick. So I got a Mattress Mick mattress, and it's like, it's incredible. It's like really firm all over, doesn't collapse in here. But anyway, once I got that with lots of nudging from Charlotte for me to get it, it took away like 70% of the pain. So I think I was getting treatment for these things, but then I was going to bed and waking up worse. And then that was a turning point in, say, April. And then things started to clear up. My ankle was still sore, but I then went into the early summer, like kind of unfit. And then I just took up the racing, the race invites and stuff like that, and the plans I had, and I kept doing them, but they were fairly disastrous. You'd have like an okay race and then other ones because I had no fitness. And but there was a turning point in May. Charlotte actually won the Europeans there outright in Sicily, up Mount Etna, which was a pretty amazing race, because it was, well, it was all ash. Like, I did not like the course whatsoever, but I think I came like, I don't know, 40 odd or something. So like that was just, it was horrendous. But that was kind of the first time that I ran without pain. So, you know, if that could be sort of running, Charlotte went on and she won in the last 200 meters to take her fifth European Masters title, which is pretty
Wow.
good. Yeah. She's got pedigree anyway. I'm
Yeah.
always letting side down with like silver and bronze medals anyway. But yeah, that was for turning points. And then after that, I got a bit of training in and then I went back to the Irish trial for Canfranc, the World Championships. And yes, that to answer your earlier question, that was the aim this year. Get into the Irish senior team because I've done the course last year in the Masters. I like the course. It has I think it has about 1106.4K, something like that. You can check that. Well, maybe I could check it too, actually.
Yeah.
I've got the internet here. I'm not really certain. But anyway, yeah, so I was aiming for that. And I just
And that would have
wasn't.
been Irish senior cap 23 in
23, yes. There's a
23,
few that
yeah.
like I had that I'm confirmed as 2022 at the moment by, is it Kieran Kelly, like looked them all up and he wrote a book. And so he got a few ratified. Like there's a certain parameters and all the sort of stuff that you have to do.
Yeah, and I think there's only one person ahead of you, Ian, and that's the fantastic, legendary Sarah McCormick, who I think is either on 25 or going for 25, seeing as
She's
having the World
on her way.
Championships this year.
Although Sarah Mulligan is back in the running,
Yeah.
and she got back into the team this year. So, but I wonder where I think Zach Hanna is probably
Yeah.
quickly catching up. Yeah, I've got to get in ahead of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Sarah McCormick is flying.
So, who would have thought, Aline, that a mattress from Mattress Mick was a key piece in getting fit again? And I say that seriously. So, you just reckon that because the mattress was so soft, so broken, for whatever reason, it wasn't giving you good sleep, you got a firmer mattress, and that allowed the body to rest better? Is that essentially what the
Yeah, but
mattress
also like this. So
solution was?
I had back issues as well. So therefore it was probably throwing me out and every little thing was hurting. And I'd be on a bus and you know when a bus would lurch or a train. And like I'd put my back out. Like I felt ancient. You know, I thought
Yeah.
like it shouldn't be this. And I'd get up and I'd have terrible sciatica getting out of chair. I just felt like I felt worse getting up in the morning than I felt before I went to bed. So yeah, and I was sleeping poorly as well. So yeah, I think that was a big turning point. And then that
A
brought
great tip
yeah.
in because over the years with the podcast, we've mentioned lots of hopefully interesting and useful recovery tips and injury prevention tips, but that's actually a very good one that we haven't mentioned before, to make sure you have a good firm mattress so you don't run into any back issues, which can have, of course, those knock-on effects and cause those compensation injuries. And so, again, it just goes to show how the year can turn around. And it's a great message for myself, for anybody listening, that you could be in the depths of misery, kind of, injured, not running well, not in good form, but just keep the head down, keep on working, keep on training, and within 5 or 6 months, in your case, you become a world champion. Now, not everybody's going to become a world champion, but just the point being that if you stick with it and stay the course, in 5 or 6 months' time, you can be in a totally different place for a
Yeah.
race or whatever it might be to where you were a couple of months ago. Just to keep the faith and stay strong.
Yeah, I think that was like, but that's kind of my lifetime of running, I suppose, since I grew up. I always wanted to run for Ireland, like you've like wanted to play for Ireland in football.
Yeah.
So it's this is just a smaller version of that. So I kept doing it, even though I felt like I was banging my head against a brick wall, that I had to keep showing up, as Ricky Wynn would say, every day, and just keep trying and keep doing the strength and conditioning. And then I was going to Mark Keneally. I'm sure you know him
Yeah.
from Planlife. He's a bit the same age as us. So he was telling me, look, you're old now, Ian, or older even. You have to do like strength and conditioning or mobility. And you should probably like think about those days that you do those 2 easy days, which for me would be like I do an hour on typically on a Monday and I do like half an hour on a Friday. So he's like, they might one of those days or both of those days might be days that you do like strength stuff and try and mobilize your body instead of doing a run, and maybe you're running less nowadays. And I was like, that's a hard thing to accept.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe not the age, but the like I'd be someone that I remember some really good years I might have taken one in like just one single rest day. 2015, I remember that I took one rest day after Snowdon. Because I
Yeah.
didn't get any sleep, but that's a different story. But anyway, it was a good day. And
I
but
know
yeah.
Ian, for yourself that likes to plan things as well. I remember in the interview back in 2020, you did have certain markers in terms of where you need your training and fitness to be before you go and execute that big championship race. And again, a great lesson for anybody listening to have these markers that are relevant for yourself and your runs, where I think, you want to be running 80 miles a week, you want to be hitting 2 hours in your long runs, comfortably breaking sub 16 minutes, about 60 kilos. And if you are all those things, then you're ready to perform and make an Irish team or be up there fighting for medals in a Masters Championship or whatever. So, how close were you to those four key points going into Italy and the World Championships?
Yeah, that is the difference. No, because I wasn't really taken away like so my weight has become less of a thing now since, so I might have been verging on the like thinking about that too much. I wouldn't say I had an eating disorder, but I probably so I had been vegan and vegetarian, but I think 2023 was a change. I basically just started eating meat again, and I'm not like say I'm not throwing out nutritional advice or life advice to people, but that for me made a big difference. I regained all my muscle mass from when I was like from 20 years previously. My weight is anywhere between like 59 to 63 kilos now, and I don't actually have to worry about or try. So I would be around like 60, 61 kilos. That
Okay.
first part, but that's without trying. But I just and I would say at times during the season I'd easily have broken 60, and I probably would now, give me a day or two. But the 80 miles a week, you're looking at no, it was like 30 miles a week average for the year. It was just like, yeah. And that I really struggled. I was like, how am I going to do this? But then when I, after the trial for Canfranc, which didn't work out because basically I wasn't fit enough, I wasn't speed, like they were running at, say, maybe sub 15, 5K pace, maybe 14, four, they were all like on it from the start, and it starts on a road and they all legged it, and I was basically about 25th after the first downhill, and I kind of scraped myself back in. But it's not a good trial for an uphill race, really. I felt that give me a month or and I did subsequently. I just in this year was different. I got fit through racing, and the races were savagely uphill, and they were mostly vertical kilometers, so 5K with a 1,000 meter gain or so. And I remember going to Italy. When was it for an earlier race? I think it was the end of May or early June, maybe. It was the Nasigo weekend, which you have like a vertical climber on Saturday and kind of half marathon 20K on the Sunday. And we both, myself and Charlotte, had an invite to be there in the World Cup. And I had to tell the organizer, I can't run tomorrow. I'm just too injured because I was both. I felt I'd underperform, and the Irish team was there, and that would like demoralize me, and I would look rubbish having been so well the previous year. And then also, I felt I'd injure myself, but that was a good choice. And that's maybe, I don't know, is that age or experience that I chose to do that. And I went for a run on the course, and I actually felt okay. And then that snowballs. And then I went, like, I know the Irish trial didn't go well, but I tried to take the positives from each one. I was like, well, I wasn't rubbish. Completely. I was like, okay, give or take. And then it progressed to going to VKs across Europe. And the only difference being comparatively to what I did last year with more mileage is that I was in more pain in the races. It was such a strange feeling. So I'd go, whereas a Piztree Vertical is part of the Milano Invite Weekend. And Milano, AS Milano, they're a fantastic team. Heidi, Welsh runner, used to run for G Team GB. She organizes, she's the translator and stuff there. It's an incredibly high level vertical kilometer, and I had a really amazing race there last year. I think I was like 20th or something like that. It was one of my fastest vertical kilometers. Very sad, I was exhausted after. But this year I was faster by 74 seconds. And actually in the race I thought, like, it started fast apparently, but I felt it was really slow. I was like, geez, this is kind of easy. And I was running alongside a Kenyan for like a good half of the race, but I felt in agony. I was like, I'm running terribly here. I was just like, I was walking at times and, like, you know, like para hiking, something you hate doing, but actually I was faster. So that's kind of been my season, for most part, that it has felt much harder, but I've been kind of like, maybe it's, I know, like by using the hiking and starting slightly slower, or I'm not thinking that I'm in great shape, I've managed to like get myself through the race and faster. So I finished 15th then, and I ran at 38 in Kenya.
Yeah, and it's probably Ian as well that even though we do get injured and we miss a couple of weeks, that when you've been running for more than 20 years like yourself, the body does remember. It has all that muscle memory. You have all of those experiences that you can draw upon, and we're probably never as unfit as we think, or we're never going to perform as badly as we kind of catastrophize about. That you have that natural fitness, you have that natural fight there, and that will always be there, and that will always help you get through races. And then to bring it to the World Championship race, Ian, talk to me about those moments before the gun goes off in Madunu, and you've got Mexicans, Italians, Spanish all around you. Where are you feeling confident about first of all, I suppose getting the over 40 podium, never mind win. Or where you're kind of going into the unknown here, and because I know you do like to try and predict your race positions, and you like to speak confidently before races, before the over 35 one. I think I remember you talking about how like you knew you were going to win, and you were going to go for the win. And what was it like in Maduna a couple of weeks ago? How were you feeling just before that gun went off?
It was a strange one because I've kind of like, I know I'm from Ireland and all, it rains here a lot over the coast, beside Howth, but it was bucketing down over there, and I did not like that because I don't know, I get kind of get cold sometimes. But however, Charlotte and myself, we recce'd the course on the Wednesday, and the race was on the Friday. So like, it's, what was it, 5K with 700 or something gained. So it was steep, but not unbelievably steep. And but it was fairly mud bath like. And thanks to James Kevin, who you know from the Ireland team, he collected us at the top of the thing. And thanks to Charlotte, she really wanted and needed a recce to do the recce. And I usually just balk at such ideas because I think, well, I'll look at the, I suppose, the road book, and I'll maybe do the end of it, and then I'll do the first K in my warm up, and that I'll just like visualize it. Usually I close my eyes and visualize it, and I know where I'm going to make my move or whatever. So this time I actually knew the course, and because it was so muddy, And it was single track, like kind of concertina from single track to larger and back in again. And it would have been difficult to know from the road book or the, what do you call yeah, we'll call it the road book, like you have in
The
slide
course
time.
guide, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so then I knew, okay, so the first part, it's go single track right away, and that goes into what is it? It kind of opens up, and it's a mud bath then after the road, and don't panic, and goes back and forth, and then it widens out a little bit. So beforehand, I knew that anyway, and Charlotte had all sorts of issues the day of the race. She was very nervous, as far as I was aware, and she ended up leaving her shoes behind, and we're just at the race, and she was like, "I don't have my shoes," and so I couldn't do anything to help her because I had to go and warm up. So that all happened, and she found her shoes. But maybe that kind of helped me in a little bit because it focused my mind because I had started to feel nervous because I was. I did. I don't look at who's in the race generally because it shouldn't be about who's in the race. Like, so it doesn't matter if you're, there's only ever one winner, let's face it. So everyone else is second, third, whatever. So I know it's different in a Masters where you're like over first, over 40, et cetera. But, I was focusing on my race, and that's what I always try to do. I focus on my execution of my plan. So I knew it was going to go really hard. They like the clappers and it's single track, and then everyone would panic and stuff. So I was, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to do Ian Conroy as usual. I'm feeling a bit tired. I'm not going to go out flat out at the beginning. I'm just going to like get out safe. So that was in my mind. And I went into the call room really early. Because I didn't want to forget. And then I warmed up and I kind of nervous then, but I just started chatting to people and drank some water, and then I relaxed. And then all I do is I visualize everything going well. I knew I was fit enough that I was
Yeah.
probably the fastest DK specialist in the race. So in the really steep stuff, I'd have that. I had some speed. I'd say overall, I was pretty confident of winning. The over 40s. I didn't know for certain for the overall, but yeah. So when it came down to the start, I was confident. Like I kind of try and get myself into a positive frame of mind. If someone asks me, "How do you feel?" I say, "I'm amazing. I'm ready to go." So when I was standing on the start line, so before we got out, it was like it was chock a block, and I was at the back of like 200 people. And then they pull back the barriers, and we run out to the road. So then I just get up. I had to squeeze past everyone to the front, and I couldn't quite get on the front line because it was quite chock-a-block. So I was behind the front line, which is a bit annoying for me, but I wasn't panicking. Charlotte was there. She had been worried that I'd missed the call room. And I remember just putting my, like, is it my index finger up? Like the number one, like I felt I'm going to win. And even if I wasn't, that was like, that's my plan. I'm good enough to win. So it just, I suppose I'll let you ask another question, but then the gun went and.
Well, I suppose the Mexican athlete, he was a clear winner of the overall race. Agustino Luis Coronado, I think is
Coronado,
his
yeah.
name. So a clear winner there. But again, he's over 35, so there is that difference between someone that's maybe in the over five category and someone that's just about to go into the over 45. He is playing, I think, with a physiological advantage. So let's leave him aside for a minute. He won the overall race in, but you did have a battle with for the over 40 gold medal because who was it? The German athlete Niels Lennart was it Nice? No, let me just open up the results here. No, it wasn't Nice. He's over 35. Sorry, it
You
was
have Matthew. You
the
got
French
Matthew
athlete Matthew Gandolfi.
Gandolfi, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, the
Yeah.
French athlete, and he was only about 20 seconds behind you. So, in like, did you have any awareness that the next over 40 athlete was just behind it? Did you go by Matthew at any stage? And when did you realize that actually I'm in world championship gold medal winning position here in the over 40 category? Yeah, let's push on. Let's take home a gold for Ireland.
Yeah, it was quite difficult. So like went so the gun went and people went nuts. And I remember we got to the tight part, we went maybe around three bends, and then I think I was in like 25th or and I know one often thinks like the worst. I was like way down. I was like, this might be the end here. Where's it going? But I didn't panic, and Thomas from Switzerland said this to me afterwards. He said, "Oh, you didn't panic," but there was a little bit of internal panic at that point, and I was like, "Okay, don't." And then I picked people off, and then I was up to about 15th or 16th. But I had seen where the race had gone, or where I could see like those groups, and I kind of knew who my competitors were anyway. So there was a chap called Massimiliano from Italy. He was third in Madeira 2 years ago, so I knew he was pretty good. And I knew Matthew from last year racing him in Canfranc, where he was really disappointingly for him, he was fourth. But I couldn't he's really upset and stuff, but I couldn't give him my bronze because it would have been those. And then he beat me for silver medal in the Europeans last year as well, so I knew his pedigree. And then who else was there?
Okay,
There was
so
another, yeah, go
some
on.
really good over 40 runners
Yeah.
there. And just to go through that again, like you were a good bit back in then at the start. So you must have just really managed the course, the race really well, moved through the field. And when was it that you maybe went by? Was it Matthew? Did you go by Matthew? Was he your last over 40 athlete standing? At one stage you went by him and went into that pole position?
No, it was a lot more convoluted and I don't know, scary at times, not for me. Because there's another Italian as well. I just knew because you could see it's wonderfully, it says people's like M40, M35 on their backs. So they're like zoom in on that. But I basically started picking people off when I was in about 15, 16 days. I knew there was maybe three groups. There was like the leaders, and then there was like a second group, and then it was just all fracturing. So I just basically picked them off one by one. I said, "I need that man. I need that guy. I need that guy." And I went in the undergrowth at times, scratching my arms. And I remember going, "Dude, I just like, okay, that's another one. I must be in about fifth or sixth place over in M40s." And then I remember I got Matthew. I don't know, maybe a third or. Yeah, a bit further on, maybe 2K into the race, I went past him. I didn't really say because I'm friends with him. I didn't say anything to him because in that situation, you're like, do you say something? Do you say something to make him like feel worse, or do you say, like, oh, well done? And I don't know. Could you play a psychological game? But I try and steer clear of those because I think I could be mean, is what it could be, and also
Yeah, just
I
head
think,
down and keep going.
yeah, just be fair. Right. And because he would never do that to me. So I was like, I just shut the hell up, went past him. But then I knew the main guy to get is Massimiliano because I felt that he was, when I saw the group fracture or at the beginning, I felt that he was the last over 40 ahead because he was in about fourth or fifth position or something like that, or maybe sixth overall. And I thought, I think he's the guy. So I kept overtaking him. And when I overtook him, I think it was about 700 meters to go. And maybe a little bit more. I overtook him and I felt, okay, I'm pretty certain I'm in the lead now, but I just kept pushing and pushing because I couldn't be certain. But I also had, so my race plan was being enacted. I knew at halfway I'd have to start pushing because there's a few downhills and windings, so just keep going on those. And then there was a really hike up with about 2K to go, or maybe a kilometer and a half to go. There's a massive hike, very steep. And then after that steepness, it was kind of like an uphill cross country with no, like for me, no major. People would say it's quite steep, but so I had to get up that as quick as possible and then just hammer all the way to the finish. And like, so by the time you got to the grassy bits at the end, like the race was over. You should have had your move made by then, like in advance of a sprint finish, because it was difficult to have a sprint finish in the kind of undulations at the end. So I did that. But all the while, Matthew was doing exactly like so. I'd overtaken him, but he wasn't like lying down on this. He was like, "I'm coming for you, Irish." He's like all the way behind me. So if you look up at any of the photographs, he's just right in my rear wing mirror or whatever the whole. And I never looked back. I didn't know this. I thought it was somebody else. I could hear the click clack of poles, which I'm against generally. And I just never looked back. And he was just, it was carnage behind me. He was cutting through the field like I had gone before him, and he was just eyeing me the entire way. And he wasn't certain where he was. I was more certain, I think. So in the end, it was 23 seconds. He actually wrote a nice thing on, I think it was Facebook or Strava about it. And we'll come to the ending of his story, which is the ending of my story too. At the end of the race. But yeah, I just kept going because I enacted my plan. I was never going to be disappointed if it didn't work out. So I
Yeah.
ran the steam, or like I had rolled the dice. I kept my plan, and actually it was working out. And then all the way to the finish, I just hammered. And there was a very good friend of mine, Mark from Spain. He finished third overall and second over 35, but he was mile clear at one point, and I think he felt bad for me when he passed me, and he dropped me basically much earlier on. He's like, "Come on, Ian," and I was like nowhere at that point. But he finished only like 4 seconds ahead of me in the end. Like he did, so I nearly got third overall, and
That's a
just
really
as I said,
strong finish.
yeah, it was. But I
When you
had,
did cross the finish line in, did you realize that you had won the over 40?
Well, I kind of looked around, and there was nobody there. Like there was only three people to finish. So
Yeah.
I was like. I thought
I
like
did
I was like look I was like oh there's no one here, that's
it.
I'm pretty certain I've won. And then doping control came along, and then I was like, get in. And he's like, oh, I'm just here, you just finished first over. And then Matthew finished because he was only like 100 meters behind me. And then he's like, we went down for the bit of food, you know, there's like drinks and stuff at the end of the race. And he was like, did you win? And I was like, yeah, I was first. And he was like, that means I was second. And Massimiliano, the Italian, had hung on for third place then. And then we
Yeah.
actually had like a group hug, like which was like, it
Great.
was
And
unusual. So
in
yeah,
just
it
to go
was.
back a second, did you say that you had to go to doping control
I
at the end of
did,
it?
yes.
Wow. Well,
Winners
isn't
go
that
to doping.
fantastic to see, Ian? I'm sure a little bit of an inconvenience for you, but isn't that fantastic
It
to
wasn't
see?
great, but it was also, it's good. It's good for the sport, but it's
It
also
is
like,
good for the sport, Ian. Yeah, it is. It's
it's also
brilliant.
like obviously I'm not like getting tested all the time and all, so it's not that much of an inconvenience. And also it's to have a clean sport, like
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. No, great to hear that. Ian, I presume, was it later that day or was it maybe the next day when I hope did they play the national anthem and the tricolor was raised? Did that happen?
yeah,
It normally
that
does, but
happened
it happened, yeah.
that happened that evening, yeah. So about, I don't know, 8 o'clock that evening, the Aaron Levine rang out once again in Italy, for
Yes.
me and Ireland. And also we had a few other team gold as well. I think like
Yeah, we had
Becky.
four. I have it here in front of me, and we had four team Irish gold medals, just yourself on the individual side. So, 5 times Aaron Levine got to be played at the World Championships this year, which is fantastic. I'm sure, was it as emotional as always being on top of the world podium and hearing our national anthem? I'm sure it was absolutely a brilliant moment for you.
Yeah, it was amazing because I suppose in the intervening period of being last time on, that was like 9 years ago, I've made, you know, or I was going to say I've made loads of new friends, but like they've honored me with them, with their friendship. And I've met Charlotte. So like they were all there, and Charlotte was taking pictures. And it was a lovely moment, I suppose, to share with Charlotte. And I suppose it's different. Like I am different as a, I don't know, elder statesman now, that I always try to do my best, but it's weird because I don't necessarily feel like amazingly like stoked when it happens sometimes. Sometimes it's like a slow burner, and I'll be looking at the medal later going, yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. That was a tough race. I think it was still but I was very happy. Yes, I was delighted to step on the podium. There's a moment when they call you out and then you run up, and it's great. And I was very happy. The podium was with friends, which is cool. Like the two guys, I knew them. Matthew and I have like raced a good few times against each other, and we were all kind of like happy to be there, which is a nice feeling. We shared it, even though I won. But subsequently, actually, Matthew won on the Sunday, so he got his first gold in the classic race and finished third overall. So he won the over 40s on the Sunday, so he got his dedication too paid off, and his, I suppose, fairness in competition as well, because he's a great competitor, but gives it his all. But he's, you know, he's fair, and he's, you know, he's a nice guy. So,
Well, listen, Ian, time is against us. So maybe with that image
sure.
of an Irish singlet, yourself, worn by yourself on top of the world podium, and alongside, again, just reading the stats here, in 22 Irish team podiums, 6 individual world championship medals from the Irish team. So for any of our listeners that love the mountains, that love trails, that love to travel, that would like to be part of an Irish team, an Irish squad, check out where the next European or World Masters are on. And going on the last number of years in and Irish records at these championships, Irish results at these championships, you're more than likely, if you go, to be celebrating an Irish gold medal, whether it be team or gold. And maybe we might leave it there, Ian, and I might say I look forward to hopefully seeing you go for that over 45 gold medal to make it 3 out of 3. Hopefully next year, if not the year after. Ina, it's been lovely talking to you again. And thanks a million for sharing all of that.
Cheers, Owen. Yeah, it's a pleasure. And hopefully you'll be back next year as well. That's in either, what is it? It's in the Czech Republic.
Is it the Czech Republic? Is it?
The Worlds are in the Czech Republic, but it's at the end of June. And the Europeans are in September for a change. And they are in Romania, in Transylvania.
Well, there's two fantastic destinations. Yeah. There we go, listeners. European and Worlds for next year. And you'll get to see Ian Conroy go for the triple gold medal. Ian, great to talk to you, mate. And listen,
cheers,
enjoy
Owen.
Your training this weekend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Well, there we have it, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that chat with Ian. And I'm sure, like myself, I just want to put on my runners and get out on some trails after listening to Ian there. Congrats again, Ian, on a fantastic gold medal. Best of luck to everybody running in Eco Trail this weekend in Bray. I look forward to seeing you all there. Do pop over to say hello. And best of luck to the Irish team in the World Mountain Running and Trail Running World Championships this weekend in Canfranc in northern Spain. Guys, have a great, great championships. Best of luck to you. Everybody, get your running gear on. Let's go.